This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, it's 2016. Have you set your New Year's resolution?
Oh, I don't know. New Year's resolutions are dangerous territory, I think. But I do have some goals.
You do have some goals?
Yes.
Well, then why don't we talk about goals? And I believe that we have a special guest who knows something about goals.
Absolutely. Yes, we do. We are speaking today with distinguished Toastmaster Maureen Zappala. She is a former NASA propulsion engineer, and she is a professional speaker, author, and presentation skills coach, as well as the founder of High Altitude Strategies, a coaching and speaking service. She belongs to Aerospace Toastmasters Club in Cleveland, Ohio. Maureen Zappala, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Maureen.
Well, hi. Thanks for having me, guys. It'll be fun.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for joining us. So, Maureen, after reading an intro like that, I know we're here to talk about goals today, but how can you just gloss over the fact that you're a former NASA propulsion engineer? That's just begging for a follow-up question. So can you tell us a little bit about your background with NASA? That's so fascinating.
Yeah, it was a great job. But I have to tell you, I did a lot of research in jet engine propulsion, which is a lot like rocket propulsion. So I always, when I do my speaking, it's part of my intro, I say, I know, I'm a rocket scientist. And everybody says, ooh. And I say, oh, you know, don't be impressed. It just means that when I do something stupid and someone says, what are you, a rocket scientist? I can say yes. But my background is engineering, and I spent almost 14 years with NASA here in Cleveland at what was called the NASA Lewis Research Center. It's now called the NASA Glenn Center, named after John Glenn. And I did jet engine propulsion. We tested real jet engines, fighter engines. Did a lot of research on them, and I loved it. It was a great job.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Now, I not to be a downer, but I actually just watched a documentary this past week about the Challenger spaceship explosion, which...
Yeah. Yesterday was the anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was it? 30 years?
1986. Yeah, 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that I was in fourth grade at the time, and I remember it distinctly, but it was interesting to watch it 30 years later as an adult and kind of get a different perspective on it. But if any organization has had a dedication to goal setting and setting and achieving audacious goals, I think NASA would be on the short list for that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it was definitely a goal-centered organization. Goal-centric, goal-centered. It was, yeah, everybody had goals, everybody had targets, everybody had objectives. So I learned a lot there.
You know, what's interesting is that we're all told that we need to set goals. And I think in our minds, we know that we have to, but we find that, I guess, life gets in the way. We get overwhelmed and it's almost like we start setting them or we know we need to do it, but it just never happens. So what can you tell us about that?
We confuse goals with dreams and goals with what we want to have as a planned outcome. But there's a difference between what you can control and what you can't control. And I like to use the example, you know, I want to have a lush green front yard. The grass is lush and long and healthy. That's my objective. That's my outcome. But what do I have to do? I have to plant the seed. I have to till the soil. I have to fertilize it. I have to water it. There are things that are in my control. Things that are out of my control. I can't necessarily control, you know, the neighborhood kids that are going to come start playing soccer on my yard. Well, I suppose I could. But for the most part, that's their choice, not mine. So I can control things. So we have to be real specific to have the objective, the outcome, what we want, and identify what we can do and what is out of our control. And the things that we can do, that's really your goal. That's, you can control your activity. If it's completely within your field of influence, your abilities, that's your goal. I'm going to make sure I water my grass every day, or I'm going to get the best fertilizer I can and put it down at a set schedule. We confuse goals with outcomes because person that says, I want to lose weight this year. Well, how much do you want to lose? When do you want to lose it? And what specifically will you do to get there?
We know goals need to be specific, but sometimes what you find is it's a tough time getting yourself started or getting yourself set up.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you're going to build a garage and you know your goal is to build a garage so you can put your car in it so you don't have to have it covered with snow all the time. But where do you start?
I think any goal, just like any life change, starts with discomfort. And not just discomfort, but where the discomfort or staying in that discomfort is less pleasing than the change that it takes to get to something more comfortable. I mean, if you're okay with having your car covered with snow, if it doesn't bother you enough, it's not going to be a goal. But if you get out there and you're like, I am so tired of digging myself out of the snow, it's cold, I'm wet, I'm a mess, I'm tired of it, I've got to put it on a goal list. So when you are so uncomfortable with the discomfort, that's when it becomes imperative that you have to do something about it. What's the quote that the pain, when the pain of staying the same is less than the pain of change, you will not change. But if the pain of change is less than the pain of staying the same, then you'll change.
Interesting.
Reminds me of the anecdote of the man sitting on his porch and his dog is laying on the porch moaning. And someone walks by and says, you know, what's wrong with your dog? And he said, well, there's a nail on the porch and it's like sticking into his side. Well, why doesn't he just get up? Well, because it's too much work to get up.
Yep. Yeah, right? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely in my life found those situations where I've said, okay, I'm fed up. Enough is enough. I need to make a change. I'm not letting one more day go by without addressing this. But sometimes I'm just not there yet. There's a situation that bothers me, and I'm like that dog laying on the porch. I'm moaning about it and complaining about it, but I'm just not at that point. How do you get over that hump if it just doesn't well up naturally? Is there something you can do to kind of, I don't know, motivate yourself to take the next step?
I think what's worked for me a lot, and I'll use the example of fitness. I've always been pretty fit. Fitness has always been a big part of my world. I've been working out for years, but over the last maybe 2 years, I've gotten lazy. I've gotten undisciplined. My diet has been terrible. I haven't been to the gym as consistently. And it, and just like you said, I was ready to kind of like live with that discomfort. I think what the turning point for me was when I started to verbalize my discomfort to other people, not the people that wanted to get down and mini moan and yeah, me too. And why, not those people, but the other people that are where I want to be, the fit people, the people that are disciplined and consistent. My niece, for example, is a competitive bodybuilder. I mentioned to her that, oh, I'm tired of feeling flabby. And she automatically jumps in with, well, here's what I can help you with. Or here's what, did you try this? Or did you look into this? Or I know you can do this. So it's that community. It's verbalizing it to somebody who's going to be a cheerleader for you. And that will start to make your discomfort even more uncomfortable to push you into where, okay, I got somebody who's on my side and in my corner. They're going to help me set a goal. So that community, that verbalizing it to somebody is so critical. We can't do it in a vacuum. We are, most of us, we are our own worst enemy. We can't motivate ourselves. It's hard.
Right.
I'd much rather go have a relationship with the remote control on the sofa instead of, you know, driving myself to the gym and sweating for an hour.
Thinking of Toastmasters, this almost sounds like a mentor helping you get started in the Toastmasters program or once you're in the program, because sometimes you find people go into the program and then they start to slide.
Yeah, I think mentoring is important because the mentor will show you the next step to take or help you as you make the next step. So you need a mentor. You need a cheering squad. You need a strong club that is doing the projects. They're making things happen. They're getting up. They're giving speeches. They're taking on roles. They're taking on officer positions. These are the ones that, and you watch them and then you verbalize to them, for example, you know, I don't think I could ever be club president. Oh my goodness. Yes, you can. Here, this is how I did it. And I got this help and I had this challenge and I overcome it. And if I could do it, you can do it. So for certain, you need a mentor, but for certain, you need to community of a good, strong club or a good community within the district, going to district events where you could see people, not just doing, you know, a CC and a CL, but multiple awards, or clubs doing many of these projects, attaining these goals within a short period of time. It just raises your awareness, and the level of your consciousness now is challenged and you're inspired.
Where would you start in terms of setting your Toastmasters goals?
We come into Toastmasters for many different reasons. In fact, when I joined Toastmasters, it was not to get better at speaking. I knew I was a terrible speaker, but I was in an industry. I had changed from being at NASA. Now I was actually selling cosmetics, and I needed customers. I joined Toastmasters to meet women, which I know sounds creepy, and I have to always follow that up with, I needed women, I needed to meet women to try the products, try the makeup products. So I came in just basically to network and to grow my circle of influence and realize, oh my gosh, this is a great program. And this is really helping me develop skills. So you start with, why did you join Toastmasters? If it is to just meet people, then what are you doing to meet people? Are you coming consistently to the meetings? Are you introducing yourself to visitors? Are you offering to speak at table topics so people get to know you? So what are you doing? But if your reason for being in Toastmasters changes, like I want to get better as a speaker, well, here's what you could do. Get through the CC, do it in a year. It's completely doable. Volunteer for speeches. Be aggressive. That's only 10 speeches in 1 year. That's once a month. You can do that. Match your goals with why you join Toastmasters and what it is about the organization that really excites you and gets you engaged and gets you inspired. Started out wanting to meet people. Then I moved into the communication track and thought that's really what I want to focus on. But then after I was in the finals of the 2009 World Championship, I wanted to give back to the organization, and I thought the best way to do that is to get into the leadership track. I wanted to get my DTM. I wanted to have a wider influence. I wanted to see this great organization from a district level. I'd seen it at international. Now I wanted to see it at the district level because I kind of skipped over that whole thing. You know, every new thing I discovered in the organization led me to a new reason to stay, which led me to a new series of goals.
And of course, you want to make sure that you put it out there and you tell people what you want to accomplish.
Oh, absolutely. Verbalize it. You put it on paper. Track your progress. Gather your cheering squad. Do the work in between the meetings. That's critical. You know, have some targets for what you want to do in between the meetings. You know, is it going to be checking the meeting agenda? My former club that I was in for a long time met on Fridays at noon. So, you know, is the agenda set by Wednesday? Is there a slot that maybe I need to pick up or fit myself in? By Wednesday, I'm going to check online. You know, little things like that. Do stuff in between the meetings. It's not all just about when you walk in the door and when you walk out.
So, Maureen, tying this into your article in the January 2016 issue of the Toastmaster, New Year, New Tune, you refer to accountability as one of the three elements for productive goal setting. And that's a theme I've been hearing both you and Greg kind of touch upon for the past few minutes. I'd like to hear your thoughts on if you want to increase your accountability, perhaps in working with a mentor or a coach, what kind of conversation should you have with the person that you want to seek accountability through? What are some of the things that someone can do to help you be accountable to your goals?
Sometimes when we set a goal, and whether we mention it to somebody or not, is almost irrelevant. When we don't make the goal, sometimes we feel a little ashamed, a little embarrassed, or worse, we'll just say, see, couldn't do it, I'm not going to do it again. When you verbalize it to somebody and invite their participation, it's one thing to just say it to somebody, then follow up with, the next sentence should be, I want you to make sure that I stay on task. Give that other person, give that mentor or a running partner or somebody from your club permission to hold your feet to the fire and even say to them, you're not going to hurt my feelings if you call me out on something that I said I was going to do and I didn't do it. I'm giving you permission to hold me to a higher standard. I don't want to let myself off the hook. When I was tracking my progress to get my CL in a year, which I had no idea if it was doable. I'd never done it before. in my club at the time, I kind of turned a deaf ear to this BL because I just was ignorant. But when I figured out what it was, I'm like, oh, let me see. Could I do this in a year? And I remember saying that to somebody. I'm going to try and do it in a year. I need you to make me aware if there's any roles in the club that are not filled, because I will pick up a role in a heartbeat. I need you to hold me to a higher standard. And he did. And I did it in a year. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, this wasn't all that hard. It was tracking the progress, always having my manual with me. Talk about accountability. Be accountable to what you're writing down in the manual. Bring the manual with you. Have it in the backseat of your car. Have it in your briefcase. Just, oh, that thing was glued to my hip for a year because I was focused on getting it done. I was accountable to, you know, what I had told people I wanted to do. I gave them permission to hold my feet to the fire, and I made sure I tracked everything in that manual.
That's really good advice. It's reminding me, I belong to a mastermind group that we have a short call every Monday evening, and that's what happens.
Oh, gosh, so do I. You're not in my group, are you?
Well, no, they basically said, you said you were going to do this, and why didn't you do it? And they're not trying to beat up on you. They're just basically trying to help you help yourself.
Yep. I'm in a mastermind group, and I'm not joking. I am in a mastermind group Monday nights, and we do the same thing. We track our progress in a Google Sheet document, and we're checking in with each other. You know, did you make those 10 calls? Did you finish that proposal?
Excellent.
Cool. Maureen, you mentioned a few minutes ago your participation in the 2009 World Championship of Public Speaking. I wonder if you could share with us a little bit about that journey, and maybe if you can share with us in the context of goal setting. What I mean is, when you decided to enter the contest, what, if any, goal did you have, and how did that change or evolve as you moved up in the, you know, the club level, the area level, and so on?
Yeah, I tell you, that process completely changed me for the better. Oh my goodness, I'm a different person and a different speaker and a different Toastmaster as a result of that 6-month journey. I had been in many contests before, so when contest season came, it was a given. Maureen's going to enter the contest. And I won all the way through district, which actually my goal was to win the district contest. I'd never been past district. My goal was to win the district contest. And so what I had to, you know, I had my individual things to get to that goal, which was really practice the speech, fine tune it, get some input, rehearse it till it was rock solid in my bones content. Once I won the district though, and moved on to, and this was back when we still had regional contests. In fact, it was the last year of the regional contest. So I had to create another speech for regional and then had another one for the finals. But when I won the district, my whole process completely changed because now I was able to draw on the expertise of other people that had gone to that level, and they had a different way of doing contests. It was much more intense, much more focused, much more analytical in terms of developing the speech, different ways of practicing it, getting feedback from different audiences. I was very focused. For example, the regional contest, which I think I had about a month between my district and the regional contest, developed a whole new speech. My goal was to practice out loud every day that speech 15 times.
Wow.
Even as I was just walking around the house doing errands or in the car, just I needed to just make it so that there was that muscle memory that I could just wake up from the sound sleep and start at the 3-minute mark and just know it cold every day. Practice that speech out loud 15 times. Of course, I tweaked the speech as I moved along the process, so every day it was almost like I was giving a different speech, but that was my target. That I could control. I could control delivering that speech 15 times to nobody, to an audience of a mirror. When I won the regional contest and moved into developing a speech for the finals, completely different speech, had about 10 weeks, so I had a lot more time. Again, drew on people from a higher level, started asking the world champions for help. Some of the past trophy winners, I asked them for help. Again, completely different level of commitment, skill building, awareness, a different way of gathering feedback from the different audiences. And my target, my goal during that process was to visit 30 Toastmaster organizations to deliver the speech and get evaluations, whether it was a club, a TLI, or some other kind of venue where I can find some Toastmasters to listen. So I think I did actually 32. So that was a specific goal that I could control. I had to get on the phone, call different clubs, and invite myself to their meeting. Yeah, that journey. I worked harder than I ever have on any one specific project. I was focused on developing that speech. It was a glorious journey. Oh my gosh, I loved it.
That was a great contest. I really enjoyed it. I was just going to say, Ryan Bowe and I had set up the Toastmasters podcast table just outside the door to the main hall.
Well, Maureen, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Lots of food for thought in your article in the Toastmaster magazine. And although January, as we're recording this, is coming to a close, we are still at the very beginning of a new year here in 2016. So I think you'd agree with me that if folks have not taken the time to set some goals, either for themselves personally, for their Toastmasters journey, or even for their club, there's still plenty of time to do that. And I think your article here has lots of insights, techniques, and suggestions to help with that process. So thank you.
It's been great. The one big takeaway for me is setting the goals, making sure that you're accountable to people, but give them the permission, the reminder of giving them the permission to say, hey, you know what? You said you were going to do this. Why aren't you doing it? I think that's really important. I think that's a great step in terms of getting us to set our goals and actually achieve them.
Yep, I agree. It's hard to give people permission to speak truth into our life, but it really is necessary for growth.
Well, this has been an absolute blast, Maureen. Perhaps you can let us know, how can people get a hold of you?
Sure. Yeah. My email is maureen@maureenz.com. So it's my first name, M-A-U-R-E-E-N, at M-A-U-R-E-E-N, with the letter Z.com. My website is maureenz.com.
Well, thanks again for joining us today, Maureen. We appreciate it and wish you a very successful goal-achieving 2016.
Thanks, guys. Right back at you.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.